Yes, Desert Island Discs on Audio Boom as part of October Day 5 now. I almost forgot the sea wasp there when I was putting on the music. So there you go. Thank you, sea wasp. There you go. There you go, yeah. And then here goes the fading of By the Sleepy Lagoon from Desert Island Discs. That's the theme music, apparently. So, thinking about Desert Island Discs, well, I've been hankering after the possibility that in my Desert Island booty I would have an MP3 player or something to keep a huge array of songs on and things. But you know what? I was thinking a lot of people listen to audiobooks, and I'm no exception. So I thought what I'd do is do a quick, not too quick, but a quickish kind of run through of some of the books that I have in my collection. Some are quite strange, possibly, but let's go through it and see. So I can't remember even where I started with this. So we will listen to the first one.
The time is exactly 2:30 p.m.
This one is a dramatised audio of a book called Bomber by Len Deighton. That was done by the BBC, I think, 50 or 60 years after the war. 50 years? 1940. So, 1940, 56, 78, 90, 2000, I don't know, but I'm listening anyway. It's all archived and stuff, but done in a docudrama. It's just a little bit.
Fuse and send a shell up there. It was all the time they want. But I would have to go straight and level for the bomber to drop the bomb and take the picture. Needed nearly half a minute. Half a minute is an eternity.
Right.
Being straight and left.
It was like being on the stage in the spotlight. Bags of panic.
Right. Right.
This is the story of the final mission of RAF Lancaster bomber WF-183, call sign O Orange, which took place on Saturday the 18th of February 1943. It is also the story of all the many men and women, British and German, whose lives were irrevocably changed by that night bombing raid.
We present Bomber, a documentary drama based on the novel by Len Deighton, dramatised by Joe...
So that was the first one. I'm thinking it must have been 2003 or something.
Emma Chambers,
I don't know. It was...
Lambert,
it was
Jack Shepherd,
you could look it, you could Google it. It was a monumental, like, commemoration or whatever. And very, very good, narrated by Tom Baker, of course. This is Fawlty Towers with the hotel inspector. Listen to this, always funny.
In lobby is three peoples have just come into hotel.
6 bedrooms, 12 with private bathrooms.
Yes, well, why don't you have dinner here, and Chris and I can try the Claremont.
Okay. The owner's one, Basil Fawlty.
I come in for a bell, but first I have to give message to Mr. Hutchison, who just going out of hotel.
Mr. Fawlty want to say adios.
He wants to...
Mr. Fawlty come into lobby with big cream pies, and he throw into Mr. Hutchison's face and on trousers. And then, like nothing happened, Mr. Fawlty go to say hello to people's at desk.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And what can I do for you three, gentlemen?
Previously on Left Behind.
Okay, and that was a little bit of that. And now this is Left Behind. It's a Christian dramatised audio thing. It's all film feature soundtrack-like. Clever stuff.
Troops by the thousands.
It's all a deception.
The earth is swallowing troops.
How are we being deceived?
General, you are in need of your post.
Thank you, sir.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Actually, these weren't as long as I thought they were when I was doing them today. So now, this one, this is fascinating. This is Independence Day UK, and it's when Radio 1 did a special on like Radar Watch, and it was all like a bit of a modern-day War of the Worlds, but based on Independence Day, the film that was in cinemas all the late 90s, wasn't it?
The distance to the signal source is 285,000 kilometres.
So this is a transmission of alien origin. The signal's coming from another world.
The nearest planet capable of sustaining life as we know it would be 8 light years away. This signal is coming from our moon.
Nicky. Hello, Group Captain, yeah.
Nicky, we've got GCHQ on the patch. They want a word.
With me now? Right, okay, well, if we can take... I'm live on the air here, actually. Who is it from?
GCHQ, Government Communications Headquarters. I think you should talk to them.
Right, apologies for this. If you're listening to the programme, we're live, and these things do tend to happen. It's an unpredictable sort of thing going on. So excuse me 1 minute. No, I'm the programme presenter. Yep. Since 7 o'clock.
Sir, Jodrell's triangulated the signal to this position. Should I alert BMUs?
Well, it's
excellent atmosphere, all right. A ground getting this via data link.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a decision for the Radio 1 control.
Good Lord.
Matthew Bannister.
According to Jodrell, the range is decreasing.
Yeah, I'll do it, yeah. This is Nicky Campbell, live from Radio 1's UFO Watch. We've been asked to hand back to Radio 1. If there's any more information we're allowed to give you on these extraterrestrial signals, we'll probably get straight back on the air. I'm hoping Mark Goodyear is in London. Hello, Mark, are you there?
Hi, Nicky. Yeah, hope to get back to you soon. Yes, this is Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Are they all this powerful on planet Earth?
First.
Yeah, sorry about that. Seems to be a bit of a problem bringing you our live UFO Watch special.
Doesn't it sound dated? Anyway, there's a bit more, so here we go.
Circus. John, can you hear us?
Yes, Nicky, actually we're on the roof of BBC Broadcasting House next door. It's pandemonium here in West London. The sky is pitch black. It's like someone put a vast black ceiling over the city. This UFO stretches from horizon to horizon. The streets are packed with vehicles attempting to find a clear route out to get out from under this thing. We were talking earlier to Rod Plummer in the GLR traffic helicopter, and I believe he's back on the line now. Hello, Rod.
Yes, John, hello.
Rod, where are you? Have you managed to get a closer look at the object? Can you describe it? From ground level, it really is very hard to make anything out.
Yeah, sure. Well, we've had a bit of an event. Just 5 minutes ago, we received radio instructions from the Ministry of Defence. They seem to have a problem with getting helicopters in under this thing from out of town. Basically, we've been commandeered for a bit of a special mission by military intelligence. We have one of their personnel aboard with us.
Well, so, Rod, what are you saying? Are you airborne at present?
Yes, we are, but we're about to land in the gardens of Buckingham Palace. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but we're helping evacuate some very VIPs.
That's enough. Switch on the radio.
Sorry, John. Got a gun.
We seem to have lost Rod Plummer somewhere near Buckingham Palace. Well, I wish I could describe better for you the eerie quality of the darkness this huge thing has cast over London. And it's actually getting lighter again, but the object isn't moving. There seems to be a growing line of bright light emanating from underneath it. It's like vast doors opening. It's like a battery of searchlights. It's very directional, very, very strong. It's south of the river. It's moving. It's moving northward. It's very bright. It's hard to see beyond it as it moves towards us, but... it almost looks as if there were a twinkling light. No, they look like fires. The skyline beyond is different now. It's oh my God! It's like a wall of destruction. It's raising everything in its path to the ground. If you can still hear me, I'm trying to get to the fire escape. Hopefully the radio mic will still work. The light is passing over the river. It's huge clouds of steam. The water is literally boiling. There goes Big Ben. It's truly horrible. It's moving up Regent Street towards Portland Place. Everything below Oxford Circus is a desert. It's a flaming desert. I'm going to try to get into Broadcasting House basement. Get out of the bloody way. The wall of light is...
Computer. Set course for NATO airbase, Gioia del Colle, Italy, avoiding major centres of population.
Course on screen. Advise fuel insufficient to complete trip in one leg.
There's a bit of margin for error. Give more.
This one is quite long, but it's quite humorous as well, and very typically British sort of P-take, really, of sort of a Hollywood film, which was obviously Independence Day. There's been another one, hasn't there, since then? Come out recently, I'd like to watch that. Love this.
Sea Harrier Puffin 3 to unidentified aircraft heading southeast 10 miles south of Cape Nez. Identify yourself. Over.
This is RAF Strike Command European Fighter Aircraft. I am British military aircraft. Hold your fire.
Unidentified aircraft. Provide IFF support or we will bring you down. Over.
Computer, why isn't the IFF on?
Please repeat slowly.
Damn it. Puffin 3, this is EFA. I am negative transponder. I am unable to squawk. Over.
Unidentified aircraft. You have 15 seconds to transmit. I will launch missile. Over.
Computer, IFF signal on now.
Please repeat slowly.
Turn on the identification friend or foe signal now, please, or I'm stuffed.
IFF on.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Give me a break.
EFA, this is Puffin 3. Your squawk confirmed. You are leaking fuel badly. Do you require assistance? Over.
Yes, I require assistance. Please assist me. Yes, over.
Do you think you can set that thing down on an aircraft carrier? We're steaming south of the bed, regrouping there. Over.
Puffin 3, I'll land this thing on a shirt button if it's steaming south.
Good work, Chief Petty Officer. Carry on.
Aye, sir.
Sorry I bent your ship, Captain Frobisher.
Glad to have you aboard, Wing Commander Reginald. Bit of paint will cover the scratches. Curious. You managed to get your aircraft down on deck in one piece, then you eject yourself overboard.
Bit of trouble with the computer, sir. A few bugs need ironing out.
What was your destination?
NATO emergency rendezvous, Bekaa Valley, sir.
I think we can manage that. The alien craft don't seem to patrol offshore much.
Is there any information about the airbase, sir?
Well, here there's quite a collection of air forces represented there. Even the Iraqis and Israelis are comrades in arms. Strange how we forget our petty differences when...
Now, the final one is taken from a Bill Bryson book called Journeys in English, which he did a few years ago. All those are on cassette. Listen to this, though. It's on CD. And it's the last of my audio books on my MP3 for Desert Island Disc. I have loads more, but this is just a random selection of some of the older ones. I just thought they'd be fun.
But it's expressing an African culture.
But does the vocabulary tend to be universal throughout?
Yes, you've got a core vocabulary that would be universal. I mean, you've got things like the majority of verbs come, go, take, bring, put. You've got a core vocabulary, you've got body parts, you've got numbers and so on. So you've got a lot of vocabulary that would be shared. Again, in different regions you might get borrowings from different local languages, but since the pidgin was meant to be the language that allowed communication where previously none was possible, it's terribly important that it doesn't change too much. And what would be the point of having something that was meant to facilitate communication if it was no good to you once you left your own country? So in fact, you find that even words that are used differently from the way they're used in English are often common throughout the area. Shall I give you an example?
Please.
If you take an example like chop, which can mean food or eat, chop fine, you know, like bon appétit. Eat well, chop fine. Or, I know but chop no nothing. I haven't eaten anything. Take this chop, go. Take this food away. So you've got that word chop. And you would find that all the way from Gambia down to, shall we say, Cameroon. With the same meaning, it can function as a noun, it can function as a verb. I mean, people don't go around saying, oh gosh, I'm going to use it as a verb now. But really, that's what it's doing. You say, chop I'm fine, you know, eat it. Or it can function as an adjective of sorts in the sense that if I say to you, you chop masa, na die, you eat a great deal, chop masa, chop master. You're really eating well. Then, if you like, you could say that's functioning as an adjective. But it's the same word throughout the area.
Pas entrance. Et pas en propre.
Who? How it take person?
Now for land book.
Abi then gear and something chop.
Did you man know that for this kind of thing? They say the boy gave.
Can I ask you what is the health of pigeons? Are they thriving or?
They are. You see, one of the things that's intriguing is you might think that they would develop closer and closer and closer to English. And sometimes in vocabulary, you would think that. But the basic language, which is unbelievably easy to learn, and I mean that. For example, you take the verbs. There's only one form. You know how in English you have I walk, you walk, he was walking, he walked, that sort of thing. And it's even worse if you've got an irregular verb. But in the pigeons, you tend to have one form, waka. And that is for any form. The past is indicated by a little auxiliary. So you'd say, awaka, that's now I walk. If you want to indicate that you're walking at this particular time, you'd say, adiwaka,